You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 336.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin.
What's going on today?
Oh, not a whole lot. I think maybe we're going to have a chickens in the news story.
No.
What?
No, we're not. I think next week.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we push it back week after week after week. We're still too busy today.
Is this retribution? Did the listeners do something to us that I don't know about?
I'm making the people wait for their next chicken story. We have things to do this week, though. Couple of things, at least.
I could do a thing.
Why don't we start with a thing from you? I would like that thing to be National Whatever Day.
National Whatever Day!
If you've been looking for a reason to be rude or annoying or to start whining, you have an occasion coming up for you this week. And it is National Grouch Day. It was assigned by the folks over at Sesame Street. And okay. It is named for the Oscar the Grouch.
Oh, all right. That makes sense then.
Yes.
So this is an official Sesame Street sanctioned event.
Yes.
In which they encourage everyone to...
make like a grouch.
Okay. I just saw Carol Spinney down at Dragon Con a few weeks ago.
Yeah, we all think of him for Big Bird, but he was also...
He was Oscar.
And I always remembered Grungetta, too. I think that was Oscar's girlfriend.
Oh, wow. I don't know if I ever saw that. Wow.
And did you know that Oscar the Grouch used to be orange?
Did Grungetta come out of Seattle in the late 80s, part of that scene?
Must have.
Absolutely.
How else do you suppose that she got that name?
Wearing flannel and whatnot?
That would have been so cool.
Wasn't she a member of Mudhoney at one point?
I think so.
I believe so. Or the Melvins, one of those groups.
That'd be a good way to celebrate on National Grouch Day, is to listen to Mudhoney.
I think she played bass with Hole for a bit. They went through a few bassists, one of which may have been a Muppet.
Grungetta the Grouch.
I think so. Now, do you plan on being grouchy yourself for Grouch Day?
Do I have a grouchy bone in my body? Oh, wait, yes, I know how I can be irritated on Grouch Day.
Yeah?
You can keep withholding that chicken story.
That'll get everybody good and fired up. Angry and grumpy, sure.
It's not normally my way.
This is going to be one of the most anticlimactic moments in the history of the Flopcast when I unleash this chickens in the news story on you next week. It's so stupid.
Happy National Grouch Day on October 15th.
Absolutely. On a related note, sort of... This is, as this show comes out, it's Super Megafest weekend.
Yeah.
And I think this is day two of Super Megafest when this show gets released. But we had some business leading into Super Megafest. You know what I'm talking about.
The Bill Mumy fish heads bet.
There's a big bet going on right now between you and me, the fish heads bet. Yeah, Bill Mumy from Lost in Space. Will Robinson, you know? They had a big Lost in Space reunion, which I'm looking forward to very much, because I love Lost in Space. Mm-hmm. They've got Bill Mumy, they've got Angela Cartwright, they've got Mark Goddard, they've got Marta Kristen. So all four of them are going to be together for a big Lost in Space reunion. And in addition to that, Bill Mumy, who's also a very talented songwriter and musician, Bill is doing a solo acoustic concert at Super Megafest Saturday night, and I am planning to be there. I will have been there by the time anyone's hearing this. Now, when we discussed this a couple weeks ago, we reminded everyone Bill Mumy was a member of Barnes & Barnes. He was one half of Barnes & Barnes. I can't remember if he was Barnes or Barnes, but he was one of them.
We know he wasn't the ampersand.
He was not the ampersand. I think Grungetta played the ampersand.
That would work.
Yeah, when she got kicked out of Hole, she hooked up with Barnes & Barnes. As we were discussing the fact that I was going to see Bill Mumy do his own solo acoustic show at Super Megafest, you thought he was going to play Fish Heads.
Because how could he not?
As in the big Barnes & Barnes hit song, the song everybody knows, the most requested song in the history of the Dr. Demento show, is Fish Heads. I don't think he's going to play Fish Heads. And you do.
But if he does...
You think he's going to play fish heads. I do not.
As I think he will.
This was your idea, was let's make a bet. Let's make this a little interesting. Yes, let's do some wagering.
Bet on fish heads.
We're going to bet on fish... Nobody's ever bet on fish heads in history.
Except me.
And the bet was, if you win, if Bill Mumy plays fish heads...
I get to have iced coffee. Well, we have iced coffee during all of our recordings through the winter. Because we usually switch over to hot coffee.
Yeah. Obviously, every week when we record the show, we're drinking coffee. We're drinking coffee right now.
We are.
Although right now, in honor of of this bet, I guess I'm drinking hot coffee, you're drinking iced coffee right now.
Because we don't know how things are going to shake out as we record
this. We're right on the brink of the Bill Mumy concert right now. And thus... Two completely different temperature coffees are happening right now as we record the show. But yeah, the bet is you're forcing me to provide iced coffee all through the winter for you if Bill Mumy sings fish heads.
Yes. But what we haven't figured out is what will happen if he doesn't play fish heads.
Right. What do I get if I win the bet is the question. We could not think of anything 2 weeks ago. We could not think of anything last week. We invited the listeners to suggest any ideas for the bet. We received zero suggestions,
okay.
If I'm counting correctly.
It's because everybody is like me. They all think that he's going to play fish heads.
I guess. Yeah, perhaps that's it. Well, I came up with something. Earlier today, I went right down to the wire just a few hours ago.
Wow.
Here's what I came up with. I'm going to hijack National Whatever Day. I don't mean I'm going to do National Whatever. You're still going to do National Whatever Day. I'm not giving myself additional work if I win the bet. Don't get that idea.
What kind of bet is this?
No, I wanted to seize control of the subject matter of National Whatever Day. Here's the idea. Instead of just regular National Whatever Day, whatever you want, which leads to things like Grouch Day. For some reason, I thought of this. National Whatever Day will be on the specific theme of what I call capes or apes. That is to say, I want National Whatever Day every week to somehow be either about superheroes or comic books in general, or apes or monkeys. So all through the winter, say like 6 months worth, whatever the iced coffee would have covered, I'm insisting that National Whatever Day be on the subject of capes or apes.
6 months of capes or apes,
you say? 6 months of capes or apes, yeah. What do you think?
You're on.
That's a good bet.
It's something.
Are you nervous?
A little.
Well, think how nervous I am about making iced coffee in February. That's never happened before.
Oh, you know what I love about this?
What's that?
One way or the other, something's going to go horribly wrong.
What if there's a judgment call? Like, what if he almost starts to play fish heads and then he stops?
Well, you know, Kevin, we've been friends for a long time and... My first inclination is to say we let each other off the hook, but what fun would that be?
Right. Maybe we'll both lose. It'll be iced coffee and capes or apes all winter if we can't figure out whether or not he played fish heads. All right, that's how we'll handle that.
Or if he vaguely strums the chords.
Right, as a joke.
Yeah.
And then stops. You guys thought I was going to play fish heads.
Well, I will laugh my butt off.
All right, the fish heads bet is on.
And the funny thing is, by the time you're hearing this, the outcome is known, but as we record this, we don't know.
Right. All right, let's move on with the rest of this show.
Capes or apes.
I know you're very excited about capes or apes. Cornflake, remember last week?
I do.
We left everybody hanging last week, not just by kicking back the chicken story by another week. Last week we were talking about After These Messages, which was the big goofy concert that I was a part of a couple of weeks ago now. In Haverhill, Massachusetts, you were there. A whole show of TV theme songs.
And it was marvelous.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yes, we did what we could. So, and it was such a long, extensive set list that we spent the whole Flopcast last week just running through the first half of the show. And we decided we'd cover the second half of the show this week.
So now we are on part two.
We're moving on to part two of After These Messages, our big, wacky TV theme song concert. We took an intermission. We relaxed. Went out and we met people in the audience.
I was about to say, I don't remember that part, but...
Still had not arrived
yet. Right. It's you know me because I showed up during the second act.
What Ed did, because it was me and Ed from Sponge Awareness, it was Mike from Tricycle, as you mentioned, and many other bands over the years, and it was Carl. And Carl we know from Duck Duck and from the Shods back in the 90s, and Carl's been out playing stuff on his own since then and doing lots of cool stuff. Those were the members of After These Messages. But during the intermission, Ed had a recording prepared of instrumental TV theme songs.
Oh.
Just to play in the background while we all took a break.
Brilliant.
Yes, that was nice. I know he played Newhart. There's a lot of good instrumental TV theme songs.
We could almost do a top 4.5 of those.
Sure. I think he did Doogie Howser.
I sure hope so. Maybe This Old House.
Perhaps. I wouldn't even recognize that one. I couldn't tell you if you played This Old House. All right, so let's do this. And you arrive, I think, during song 3 is when you arrived in the second set. So okay. We're still on songs that you did not hear us singing. But we open the second set with Welcome Back, Cotter.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's how we welcome people back to the show, you know? We did Welcome Back, Cotter, which is a nice song.
I like that
beautiful song. John Sebastian.
Beautiful soft rock.
A Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee, John Sebastian. Not for Welcome Back, Cotter.
Why the heck not?
Probably more for his work in the 60s with the Lovin' Spoonful.
Oh, fair enough.
And John Sebastian, as we've discussed, first guy I ever saw in concert. Because my first concert was Weird Al, and John Sebastian was opening that concert.
That's right, that Theater in the Round experience.
That was in the Round in Rhode Island, yeah. And he played the Welcome Back, Cotter theme song at that show.
That just makes my heart happy. Kind of like Bill Mumy is going to play Fish Heads.
If only we'd made a bet in 1985 on John Sebastian playing Welcome Back, Cotter. He introduced that song, though, by saying, "The song's very special to me because it paid for my house." And we did the long, full version of this song. But I think a lot of people know the long version of this, not just from when it was a hit back in the 70s, but because they'd play a longer version during the closing credits of Welcome Back, Cotter. You'd hear the second verse. Because I was one of those people that would carefully study the Welcome Back, Cotter closing credits, you know, every week. You know those people. The cool kids.
What were you looking for? You looking for the names of the guest stars?
I was watching for the credit for Deborah Lee Scott.
Oh.
Playing Rosalie Totsie. Deborah Lee had the best 70s hair back then. She had the super feathery 70s hair going. The late, great Deborah Lee Scott. You know who else was on Welcome Back, Cotter back then? Just in like a recurring role as another goofy student outside the main Sweat Hogs was Charles Fleischer, who went on to be the voice of Roger Rabbit a decade or so later.
Whoa.
Yeah, he played a kind of a creepy kid named Carvelli.
Because what would high school be without a creepy kid?
That's why you watch the closing credits of Welcome Back, Cotter.
Ah.
And you learn verse 2 from John Sebastian.
Yeah, that song was so good. Why have a different song for the closing? Just use that song.
Yeah.
That song for 10 other shows. It was a great song.
Treat the people to verse 2. Yeah, they should have used that for every other show as well. You're right. Could have been in the credits for Fish.
Right.
Barney Miller.
Chips.
Chips, absolutely. Welcome Back, Ponch, they could have called it. What did we do next? Oh, the next song we played, again, you still had not arrived. And this was a song that Ed and I used to perform as Sponge Awareness Foundation back in the old days of Sponge Awareness. At least once or twice we performed The Love Boat.
Oh, my.
That was not doing shows of TV theme songs. That was just me and Ed back in the early 90s deciding, you know, we should do the theme from The Love Boat. For no reason at all. And so we did. I know there was a show we did. We were opening for Duck Duck. Carl played saxophone with Duck Duck. But we were opening for Duck Duck once. This would have been like around 92, I think. At a club. This was like a bar or a club inside a hotel somewhere. Weird show for us. You know, because usually we only play in colleges and coffee houses. This is an actual place where bands would play. And for some reason, Duck Duck invited us. And paid us. I think we got paid that night.
Wow.
That was very unusual in the history of Sponge Awareness. A rare payday for us. But we get to the show and we had The Love Boat in our set. We were going to open our set with The Love Boat. That was the plan. We get there. I have no idea why this was the case, but in the front of the stage was a wheel like you'd steer a ship with, like Captain Steubing would be steering The Love Boat with.
And you hadn't told them what your plan was?
No. I don't know why that was there. I didn't ask anybody. I just thought, oh, that's good. There's a wheel like a ship's captain would have.
I can
play with that while we do Love Boat.
There was a Sponge Awareness informant. Somebody leaked that information.
I don't
to
know
the bar.
To this day. I don't know why that wheel was there. I was like the skipper. So we did Love Boat. And Love Boat, I think we did pretty straight. There are not additional lyrics for Love Boat that I'm aware of. Because a lot of these songs, as we discussed last week, a lot of these songs have extra lyrics that people might not know from the TV version.
The only lyrics of The Love Boat that I can remember are The Love Boat.
That was definitely one of the lyrics, yes.
That's all I remember from it.
I think this is when you arrived, as I recall. But next up was Bosom Buddies.
Yes.
The Tom Hanks, Peter Scolari show. And as you know, they used the Billy Joel song, My Life. That was the theme to Bosom Buddies.
Did Billy Joel do that song for that show, or did
No.
the show use that song?
They took the song and made a new recording of it. And this song was only like a couple years old at this point. That was a recent song at the time. I'm kind of surprised Billy agreed to this. He doesn't really sign off on his music being used too often in other arenas like this.
Yeah, he's fairly reserved.
He must have been so excited about the idea of a sitcom starring a couple of dudes dressed up as women that he was absolutely, please use my song.
Or maybe they showed him what the opening credit sequence was going to look like. I remember the show being funny, but that opening credits part was really funny.
We actually did, at the request of Ed, the opening credits before the song started, there was that dialogue part with the two guys speaking, kind of explaining the wacky premise of the show. Now we live at a hotel for women, you know, that they do that whole explanation of the wacky premise of the show. Carl and I did that. We did all the dialogue, word for word.
Awesome. Yeah. Did anyone in the crowd catch on to what you were doing?
Maybe not. I don't know. They may have just been patiently waiting for us to start singing.
Well, I walked in while you were playing this song, and I thought, well, you know, I know that Kevin really likes Billy Joel.
Yes.
And I bet Ed does too. Do they run out of TV theme songs and now they're just covering Billy Joel?
Did they abandon the whole premise of the show?
And then I remembered, oh, wait, yeah, Bosom Buddies. Yeah, I used to watch that.
We're very sorry, everyone. This was a terrible idea. How about if we just do regular songs?
You can't fault me for wondering.
We did Mystery Science Theater 3000 next.
And people definitely did catch on to what you were doing.
We knew
there.
This song was completely unrehearsed for the simple reason that during our one rehearsal, we forgot to rehearse it.
Whoops.
Ed pointed that out a couple of days later. By the way, we forgot to rehearse Mystery Science Theater. But Ed was confident that he said, this is a simple song. We don't even need to rehearse. And I think he was right. Because I've heard the song 1,000 times. Oh, no. I got a text. Text coming in. Listen to that. I forgot to shut my phone off. Here's a coincidence.
What just happened?
I got a text from Ed now. Ed is texting into the show. We did not plan this. Let me see. I'm going to read a text from Ed right now.
Okay.
Ed's like 20 minutes too late. Ed is texting a suggestion for the fish heads bet. This just came in from Ed, who we were just talking about as my phone started screaming like a turkey. Because as you know, I don't text, I turkst.
But does it top Apes and Capes?
All right, let me read this. If you win, and you will. Wow, so Ed does not think. Ed does not expect Bill to do fish heads either. Cornflake cannot use the word lobster on the Flopcast or in any manner representing the Flopcast until iced coffee season returns. That's interesting.
I have to go lobster free?
Well, now we're locked in on Capes and Apes, so you're off the hook. You can talk about lobsters as much as you want.
Oh, and I will.
But that's a clever idea, though, from Ed, though. That's a good suggestion. That would have been funny. Because I think what I would have done is started talking about lobsters all the time, but you would not be allowed to participate.
What could I do? I'd be like, all right, let's move this conversation along.
I'm just texting Ed back right now, so he knows that we're recording the show right now.
That's so funny.
And we have a different idea.
Yeah, because we didn't even tell him we were recording tonight.
No.
He just I'm so glad you forgot to turn your phone off, because this is just lovely. Hasn't Ed also coincidentally called into our show before?
Yeah, he called in when we were talking about the Love Boat script.
That's
that
right.
He sent us. We have to break out that Love Boat script and play with that some more.
That would be so much fun.
Yeah, our original autographed by the whole cast Love Boat script. We've had that laying around on reserve all year.
Maybe it should be a holiday special.
Perhaps. Okay, I'm texting back to Ed. Great idea, but we are recording right now, and we went a different way. Then I put some turkey icons up there, you know. I'm sending five turkeys as well, because it's a text. All right, sent. I'm going to shut this off because we'll be here all night if we turk with it all night. But that's outstanding. All right, thanks for the suggestion, Ed. Where were we? Oh, yeah, we did Mystery Science Theater 3000, and that was simple enough.
Yeah, the crowd joined in on that one.
Yes, they did. In fact, I didn't want to do the robot roll call, mm-hmm. so I was hoping somebody in the audience would do the robot roll call, and I believe it was Kate.
Yes.
Which I appreciated. Also, as we record, we're 2 days away from Mystery Science Theater live in Boston, and I'm going.
That is so cool. Yeah. Wait, you're going two nights, right?
I think I'm going to both shows, yeah. let's move on. What do we do next? Oh, this is a song that got cut from the set.
Ah.
We were going to do My Two Dads, You Can Count on Me.
Oh, wow.
And at the last minute, I kicked it out of the set. I said, Ed, let's scratch My Two Dads from the set.
You voted the dads off the island.
Yeah. I figure it would not be missed. I'll bet most people don't remember the My Two Dads theme. It's kind of a fun, goofy, upbeat, generic TV theme song.
Who sang that?
I could not tell you the... Oh, actually, I do know who sang that. I believe that was sung by one of the stars of the show. I think Greg Evigan.
That's awesome.
One of the two dads, right? It was Greg Evigan and Paul Reiser.
Right.
And we don't know which one is the biological dad. That was the wacky premise of the show. A little girl shows up on their doorstep. Hello, one of you is my father.
All these years later, we have no idea.
They don't know which one is the dad. They decide they don't even want to know. We will both be your dad. And the judge, there was a judge, like this wacky old lady who's the judge who assigned custody to the two of them together and was just lurking around all the time from that day forward because the judge was a regular on the show as well. She was the wife on Fish with Abe Vigoda back in the 70s. I have no idea what the actor's name was, but she was very good. And Stacey Keenan was the little girl.
I remember that.
My Two Dads. I used to watch it. What was wrong with me? But I didn't sing it. We cut it out of the set. So my apologies to all you My Two Dads fans out there. Next we did The Monkees.
Yes.
Theme from The Monkees.
The whole shebang.
The full version of the song. We had Carl take the lead on this one. I actually left the stage. I was hiding in the back of the room during The Monkees.
What?
I just wanted to be out there among the crowd enjoying The Monkees theme.
Okay, now that makes sense. I thought, it's like, well, this of all the times for Kevin to depart the stage, it's the Monkees. This is your thing.
And there's a Monkees Christmas album coming out.
No way.
It was just announced a couple of weeks ago. There's a new Monkees Christmas album coming out this year. They've never done a Christmas album.
I hadn't heard this.
I'm very excited about this.
I am too.
This is going to be good.
That makes my heart happy.
What did we do next? Oh, Happy Days was next. This is a tricky song to do live. It sounds very simple, but this is one of those songs where it's like, well, what are we going to do? Because there's several different versions of the Happy Days theme.
That's right.
Well, originally, like season one Happy Days, the theme song was Rock Around the Clock.
Right.
The old Bill Haley and the Comets, you know?
I remember that.
Season one. Then they did the original theme song Happy Days for season two onward, I believe. But there were multiple versions of it with different lyrics. We all just kind of followed Carl's lead because we didn't know what was going to happen.
Love that show.
Oh, classic. Who's your favorite Happy Days cast member?
Fonz.
Really? Okay.
Of course.
Interesting choice.
Yours?
I'm going to go with Richie's girlfriend and then wife after Richie wasn't on the show anymore, but they got married anyway, Lori Beth.
Oh, wow.
Played by Linda Goodfriend. Richie left the show. Ron Howard and Donnie Most, Ralph Nalf, they left the show supposedly to join the military.
Right.
They went off, joined the army. They're off the show. Lori Beth, Richie's girlfriend, stayed on the show. And then they decided, let's have Richie and Lori Beth get married.
Off camera?
Ron Howard did not come back on the show for the wedding episode. They married him without his involvement. They married him over the phone. They had a wedding on Happy Days, like in the Cunninghams' living room, you know, where everything happened because that was the set.
Right.
And Fonzie stood in for Richie at the wedding with Richie on the phone. He was married by proxy, they called it.
Why I don't remember this, but I don't think I want to remember this.
It was remarkable.
Worked!
Because Ron Howard did come back a couple of times after that. He did a couple of guest appearances, but not for his wedding episode.
Not for his wedding. This is weird.
Yeah, he came back once kind of in the middle of the later seasons, and then the very end, very final episode, he was back on again with a mustache. which was a problem. All right, that's Happy Days. We have to do a long, full, detailed show about Happy Days one of these days. And I think I've mentioned that many times over the years.
That would be fun.
Someday we're going to talk about Happy Days. We could do a whole long show just about Happy Days spinoffs.
That's true.
Because that's a complicated story. Anyway, oh, speaking of Happy Days spinoffs, we did Laverne and Shirley next.
That made me happy.
Making our dreams come true, Laverne and Shirley. And that was pretty straightforward.
Yes, I especially liked the beginning part.
Ed did the countdown at the beginning, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because I think Carl was going to do the countdown, or I was going to do the countdown. We couldn't decide. Nobody wanted to do the countdown. I think Ed just gave up and did it. Otherwise, we'd still be there waiting for the song to start. Yeah, man, I watched Laverne and Shirley every week, too, back then.
You couldn't get enough Squiggy.
I didn't care how stupid it got. I kept watching. Yes, yeah, Squiggy was there, of course, every week. Love Squiggy. Did I have a Laverne and Shirley trivia question? I can't remember now, because we were doing trivia questions and giving out prizes through the whole show.
I don't remember.
Don't remember. I know I had some written down.
What was that episode where they were asking for, was it Betty Please?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were running a restaurant.
Yes.
Yeah, called Dead Laszlo's Place.
Exactly.
Lenny and Squiggy took over a restaurant. It was called Laszlo's Place. Laszlo died. Lenny and Squiggy took it over. They called it Dead Laszlo's Place. And then Laverne and Shirley ended up having to run the restaurant. And Shirley was the waitress. Laverne was working the grill. And Laverne started calling Shirley Betty just because she thought it sounded more like a diner waitress kind of a name.
Then so, Shirley.
Yeah, Shirley works too, I would think.
Shirley is totally a diner name.
Yeah, Laverne just kept yelling, pick up Betty, Betty please.
Betty please.
Throughout the whole show. It was wonderful. Dead Laszlo's Place. And I later learned that there was a punk band called Dead Laszlo's Place. I bought their CD for like $2 somewhere.
Because you could.
And to this day, I've yet to play it. I just like to look at it. We did Three's Company after that. I think I was going in TV order. I think that was yes. All part of the same magic lineup on ABC at one point, was they do Happy Days, then Laverne and Shirley, and then Three's Company.
Now, Three's Company had a couple of different theme songs along the way, but that was always the one I liked best.
Three's Company had different theme songs?
I think it had a different one in the very early days.
I'm going to disagree. I think they always used the same thing. Maybe different versions. It was not always the exact same recording from year to year, but I don't think they ever used a completely different song.
I think they did.
Well, do you want to go the whole winter without saying the word lobster? No, we're not going to make another bet right now. But I
will...
I'm fairly confident.
Off mic, I will research this because I remember there being in the very, very early days of the show.
You weren't even alive in the very early days of the show.
It was in reruns and syndication.
Yes, it certainly was. I was on board from the beginning. Even though I was probably too young to be watching this horrifying show. But I did anyway.
It's entirely possible that I am remembering a commercial of the show using a different song.
That would probably make a lot more sense. This was a problematic show in hindsight.
For more than one reason.
Oh, absolutely. And yet, we loved it.
You know which episode I always remember?
What's that?
The one where they bet Chrissy that she couldn't stop eating. And they... Do you remember this
no.
one?
She couldn't stop eating.
They bet her that she wouldn't be able to stop eating. Yeah. And she gets caught, and she's up in the middle of the night, and they go find her in the kitchen. They think they've caught her, but she's actually just having some ice cubes, not really eating.
Big, delicious bowl of ice cubes.
Yes.
Yeah. I like the idea that Chrissy can't stop eating.
Yeah, I know.
That explains why Suzanne Summers was in such horrible shape, right? Back on the Thighmaster, Suzanne. Oh, what a goofy show. I loved it. I think I asked what the name of the... Did I ask the trivia question about the name of the club that they went to?
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Regal Beagle.
The Regal Beagle, of course. And then did we ask the name of Jack's restaurant after that?
I think you did.
Because I also had that in my notes, was to ask one, because Jack opened his own restaurant.
And I don't remember what
it was called. Jack's Bistro.
Ah.
Which they then used in the sequel show, because when Three's Company ended, they rolled right into a spinoff called Three's a Crowd. They also did The Ropers. That was the other spinoff from Three's Company. That's when they brought in Don Knotts.
Mr. Furley.
Mr. Furley. Yeah, he took over for the Ropers.
Mr. Furley is one of my all-time favorite TV characters.
Absolutely. Don Knotts was remarkable.
Loved him.
That man could wear a scarf.
He could. And he could make a horrified expression like no other.
Here's where things got weird. I think this was Ed's idea. You were there. You know what happened.
I do.
Flopcast listeners will understand this in a way that very few people in the room would understand. But here's a chance to alienate everyone in the lasting room, the pub in Haverhill where we performed.
I was sitting next to at least one other person who appreciated this. There were some folks in the room.
I knew there'd be a few Flopcast listeners in the room. Cornflake, we did High Feather.
It was so great.
You didn't know we were going to do that.
I didn't. And this was the point in the show where I stepped away to get a Shirley Temple.
Oh.
And so I'm sitting at the bar.
You were out of control. You were on your ninth Shirley Temple. They had to cut you off at one point.
And I thought, oh, well, here's a good time to go get a drink. And then I hear High Feather playing. I don't know. I need to get back in there.
For the first time in the history of music, someone heard the theme from High Feather being performed live and thought, oh no, I've got to get back there. High Feather, the goofy educational show for kids from the early 80s that ran on a handful of PBS stations in the early to mid 80s. Nobody remembers the show except us. We did a whole episode by episode breakdown of High Feather last summer. We were obsessed. We still are. We subjected our poor Flopcast listeners to 10 weeks of us talking about High Feather. And yeah, Ed thought it would be funny to play High Feather. This was also completely unrehearsed. And also, we did a longer version than the regular opening to the show.
Because, did you use the version from the talent show?
All right, here's the thing. There's a second verse, or an alternate verse, to the High Feather theme that you hear performed in the background of one episode. And I think that's the only time you hear that in the whole series. Well, we did the regular main verse, and then we did that verse as well.
Wow.
Now, in the talent show, in the final episode, all the kids sing High Feather live. They sing a line that is different from either of those recorded studio versions. So there's a lot of alternate High Feather lyrics out there for aficionados such as us to study. I think at the end of that song, I said to most of you, I'm sorry. To about six of you, you're welcome.
Yes.
But yeah, probably for the first time ever, High Feather was performed live. That was bizarre. We did Family Ties after that.
And Carl sang Like a Girl.
Once again, as we mentioned last week, there were a couple of songs where there were duets, and we would always assign the girl part to Carl. And we did that again for Without Us, the beautiful duet theme song to Family Ties.
That is the song that has been stuck in my head since after these messages show.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And this is another case where we did a second verse that was not on TV. It was beautiful.
It was.
Yep. It was heartwarming.
Heart-stirring, yes.
Yeah. Me and Carl just gazing deeply into each other's eyes.
Wondering what you'd do without us.
Do you know who sang the original version? Well, I think there's multiple versions of the TV theme, but the best-known version, the two singers, do you know who they were?
Was it the two parents in the show?
It was not Michael Gross and Meredith Baxter.
I always wondered if it was Meredith Baxter.
Although they're actually performing soon together in New Hampshire. I saw a notice about this. There's that play Love Letters. You know this play?
I don't.
There's like a play, and they rope a lot of celebrities into performing Love Letters. Because it does not require a lot of rehearsal, because I've never seen it, but I know of it. It's two people on stage reading letters that they had written to each other, which means you don't have to memorize your lines, because you're literally reading through the whole show. But I'm sure it's a lovely show. I've never seen it. But the parents from Family Ties, Michael Gross and Meredith Baxter Burney, Steve and Elise Keaton, are performing Love Letters together in New Hampshire sometime soon, I believe.
I need to go see that.
You should go see that and report back to us.
I loved them.
Of course. They were adorable.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I was a fan of Michael J. Fox as much as the next girl back in the day.
Did you prefer Michael Gross with the beard or without the beard?
With the beard.
With the beard. Interesting.
The epic beard.
Interesting
you?
Choice. I'm going to go beard also. Yeah, you're right. You're correct. I can't tell them apart when he doesn't have the beard. Am I looking at Meredith Baxter Burney? I don't know. The Family Ties theme song, the best known version of it at least, the vocalists are Johnny Mathis.
Uh-huh.
You know, legendary classic singer Johnny Mathis. I mostly know his Christmas songs.
Right.
But he had other like hit songs, like, I don't know, in the 50s, 60s. He goes way, way, way back. And Denise Williams, who we best know from Footloose, from Let's Hear It for the Boy.
Yes.
At least that's what I best know her from. That was the lady who sang Let's Hear It for the Boy in Footloose.
And now it makes sense.
See, it sounds like her now when you hear it.
It really does. It was that TV show that taught me how to divide the last piece of cake.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. So...
How do you do that? If it were up to me, I would just let the entire cake be devoured by Justine Bateman.
Steve and... Steve and Elise Keaton, yep. Right? They'd take out the last piece of cake, yeah. And they would decide how they were going to divide it.
Okay.
And the rule was one person cuts,
yep.
The other person picks first.
I think I learned that from Sesame Street.
Ah.
But you learned it from Family Ties.
I did learn it from Family Ties. Yeah. That is the rule I have followed ever since.
We all learned so much from the Keatons.
They were just so sweet about it.
We did Who's the Boss next.
Yes. Remember?
Brand New Life, the theme from Who's the Boss.
I always picture that van going down that road with all the trees around.
That's a lovely song.
It really is. The choice is up to you, my friend.
And a pretty stupid show, as I recall.
Delightfully stupid.
Yeah, I did not watch a lot. I never cared for it.
I loved Tony Danza. Taxi, Who's the Boss, you name it. If it had Tony Danza in it, I was on board.
I saw Tony Danza recently. There's a show, again... Who can even keep track? There's all these shows that nobody even knows exist anymore. But there was a show on one of those streaming things that no one's ever heard of called There's Johnny.
Yeah.
And this was produced by Paul Reiser from My Two Dads. He's not on the show, but he's one of the creators and producers, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's set in the early 70s backstage at The Tonight Show.
Oh.
So it's about the crew, the staff, the writers and everybody working on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson back in the early 70s. And it was done with the involvement of the Carson estate. So they had access to the actual shows. So the show is all behind the scenes, backstage stuff. And you don't see Johnny Carson backstage. Like there's not an actor playing him on the show. But then they will cut to the real show. So they kind of reverse engineered the plots of their shows to match what happened on the real Tonight Show back then.
Wow.
And it's very clever. It was a really good show called There's Johnny. Tony Danza plays Fred DeCordova, who was Johnny's producer.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He's like this wacky old Hollywood producer dude. It's called There's Johnny. It's out there somewhere, I think.
And now I will go find it because Tony Danza.
See if you can find it. It was very good.
He was my hero when I was a kid.
Well, I did not like the show, but I liked the theme song, and we did it. I saw Judith Light recently as well. Transparent. She was on Transparent.
Oh, right.
The show with Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah.
From The Ropers. See how this all comes together?
How wild.
We did Silver Spoons next.
Because how could you not?
Together we're going to find our way. Silver Spoons, man. And that was pretty straight. There are no extra verses to Silver Spoons. What you heard is what you got.
I can believe that you looked, though.
We searched everywhere for additional Silver Spoons lyrics. I almost had to write them myself. I was going to do a whole verse, too, just about Alfonso Ribeiro. I'm going to do a verse just about the time Ricky got Menudo to perform at his party. Because that was a highlight of the show for me. We're getting towards the end of the set now. I believe Carl took the lead on this one. We did WKRP in Cincinnati.
Which is a song that I will always love.
That's another case of a gorgeous song.
Yes.
Sometimes they would just accidentally write a beautiful song for these TV shows. Because it's specific.
Right.
You know, like sometimes you have a gorgeous song, but it doesn't necessarily have to be about the show. You can't do anything with the song except play it at the beginning of WKRP in Cincinnati. And yet they went to the trouble of making an entire full gorgeous song out of it. And again, there's a long version. There's lyrics that nobody ever heard.
Now, I remember this being at the beginning of the show. What did they play at the end of the show?
They played a crazy hard rock song at the end of the show, and you can't understand what the guy's saying. It sounds cool. It's really cool hard rock screaming.
Yeah.
And you'd strain trying to figure out exactly what in the world is he singing. And the answer is, it was just the guy screaming nonsense. He was not actually singing any real words.
Oh, wow.
So it cannot be deciphered. It's complete nonsense. It just sounds cool.
They did it on purpose.
Yeah. That's the closing of WKRP.
In contrast.
Yes.
To the beautiful song at the beginning.
They went the other way for the end.
Those crazies.
Yeah, such a great show. But the song, and it's about a guy, like life on the road, you know, he has to drift to different jobs in radio. So he has to say goodbye to the girl because he's leaving town to go to Cincinnati. But there's these middle lyrics. It goes deeper, like it's heartbreaking.
Because I know what part sticks with me and I'm not remembering.
What sticks with you?
Maybe you and me were never meant to be. Just maybe think of me once in a while.
Right, that's how it ends.
Yep.
Sad. Well, listen to this. Heading up that highway, leaving you behind, hardest thing I ever had to do. broke my heart in two, but baby, pay no mind. The price for finding me was losing you.
Oh.
You know? They wrote this for a TV show.
I know.
Starring Howard Hessman.
It wasn't necessarily a drama.
Lonnie Anderson. It really wasn't a drama, no. They were dropping turkeys out of the sky. But they had to break everybody's heart during the opening credits. All right, let's bring this back. We did Brady Bunch.
Yeah, that would have been a glaring omission had that song not been performed.
Gotta do Brady Bunch. And we did it. Now, keeping on the Brady theme, here was a surprise for everybody.
And this was a very well-received surprise. People liked this a lot.
For the second time in the whole show, we did a song that was not a theme song, but certainly a Brady song. We did Time to Change.
And the first thing I thought of when I heard the song was this was not a theme song, but I can't imagine this show now without it.
Yeah, because you'd missed in the first set we did I Think I Love You by the Partridge Family.
Right.
Which was also not a theme song, but a Partridge song. But yeah, we did Time to Change. I don't know if this was Kate's idea. It was probably Kate's idea. Because again, I did not pick the songs for this. I arranged the songs. They let me arrange the songs in the set. But I did not pick them, but I'm glad that Kate or somebody thought we should do Time to Change.
For anybody who was a Sponge Awareness fan, that was a treat, because that's Time to Change is referenced in Greg Brady Wants Me Dead.
It is referenced in the Brady-themed Sponge Awareness song. Yes, but we'd never performed it before, so that was fun. We saw our buddy Rob Paravonian perform this at MarsCon.
That was so cool.
When Sponge Awareness was, I think in honor of Sponge Awareness, he decided to play Time to Change for us, which was a treat. In our version at the After These Messages show, Ed played the part of Peter Brady. Ed did the crazy voice-changing lyrics.
Yes.
We finally found a part that Ed could handle as a vocalist. After all these years. Look how poor Ed. He's turksting into the show as we record to help us. Now we're just making fun of his beautiful singing voice. Anyway, we closed the whole show with a Sponge Awareness classic, and that was our Schoolhouse Rock medley.
And I think that's when I knew the show was winding down.
Well, absolutely. And did you notice what I did at that point?
Yes, you.
For the second time within a few weeks.
Had a costume.
As people remember from our DragonCon show, we did a panel at DragonCon about Schoolhouse Rock, and for the first time in DragonCon history, I appeared in costume. Specifically for that panel, I put on a Cloris Leachman costume, just the way Cloris Leachman looked in the VHS release of Schoolhouse Rock in the 80s. Cloris and a bunch of kids do a big song and dance number. Well, I brought my Cloris costume.
Yes, you did.
All the way to Haverhill. And yeah, I suited up at the end of the night for our Schoolhouse Rock medley.
And then Ed played some music.
Oh, yeah. Here's the other thing. Once again, flashing back to DragonCon. Ed listened to our DragonCon show.
Yes.
Where we talked about, we also did a panel about the Incredible Hulk.
Right.
And I mentioned that we ended our Hulk panel at DragonCon by playing the sad Hulk walking away music from the end of the show. And everybody on the panel, we just got up and slowly, sadly walked off stage. And that's how we ended the panel. Ed decided that's how we should end this concert as well. Yes. So that was twice within a month. I ended a thing by playing the Hulk sad walking away music and walking off stage. I did that twice, Cornflake.
Would you say it's becoming a habit?
Evidently for me, yes it is. But how many people have the opportunity to do that?
Even do that once, never mind twice.
Two completely different events in different parts of the country where it was appropriate to walk off stage to the Hulk walking away music.
The answer is only you.
That's how my life's been going lately. But that closed out the night. We have to say thank you to, man, so many great friends of ours who came out for the show, friends and family, traveled from very far away in several cases, from as far as Florida, we should say.
What?
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. In California. We had family there from California. Wow. I don't think she was specifically there for our show, but she did come from California. I think there were people there in the room. I'm not going to say who they were. But I'm pretty sure there were people that came up from Florida to see After These Messages. Maybe they were big Golden Girls fans, right? That was a Florida show. Our friend Andy was there. Jacob Haller, good friend of the show.
I got to see Jacob.
Was that the first time you'd met him?
Yes.
In person? Wow.
Finally.
How about that?
That was so cool.
A good friend of Mike Gordon from Earth Station One Network. Mike has a friend who lives up here in Massachusetts named Larry. And I've met Larry a bunch of times. At any time Mike is up here doing a convention with his Tiki Zombie comic book, Larry's usually helping out at his booth. You know, so I've gotten to know Larry.
Now I know who that is.
Yeah, you've met him before at conventions.
I was sitting pretty close to him.
Yeah, I didn't know he was coming. And then before the show started, I was like, look at that. Larry's here.
Nice.
That was a nice surprise. Well, and I cannot possibly name everybody that came to the show, but so many friends of ours and family and just weird locals, I guess.
Weird and wonderful.
A lot of people were there, and yikes, what a lovely time we had. That was a bizarre show. I don't know if anything like that is ever going to happen again, but who knows?
We sure can hope.
We'll see. And man, Cornflake, we've been talking a while now. Let's wrap it up. But that was after these messages, a whole night of TV theme songs performed live rather clumsily. You're welcome.
Such delightful nostalgia.
One quick reminder before we wrap up, and that's the ESO Network Patreon is up and running. So we do encourage people to check out ESO's Patreon. And if you can, throw a couple bucks towards the network to help keep this lovely podcast network of ours up and running. And there are different reward levels and extra bonus stuff you can get through Patreon, including exclusive podcasts that we release just for Patreon, including some exclusive Flopcast episodes, which we just recorded another one.
Yeah.
It's not up yet on Patreon, but as soon as I edit it and send it in, that'll be up as well. It's you and me and the mayor talking about Flash Gordon.
Coming soon to an ESO near you.
That'll be fun. That's coming soon, but there's all kinds of stuff up there already. They just released the ESO Network at DragonCon recording. This was everybody from the network. We all just squished into a hotel room together just to talk about the convention. It was a really fun talk. I think there were like 18 people in the room at one point, I think.
That is great
fun.
It
was quite a group. That show is now available through ESO Patreon. I was there. It was wacky. So check out our Patreon account if you can. Cornflake, let's wrap up, please.
Okay. Flopcast.net is our website. We're also at facebook.com/flopcast. On Twitter, where our handle is @flopcast, and on Instagram, @_flopcast.
That's right. Well, Cornflake, I look forward to you being a complete grouch all week. See you next time.
Peace and cookies.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special commercial for We Podcast and We Know Things.
Wow, a commercial?
Yes, Sam, a commercial. You do this to me every time. Anyway, we are We Podcast and We Know Things, the single source for all of your nerdy news in gaming, TV, film, music, and all things pop culture. Heck, even wrestling. We're basically spreading the good word of nerd one episode at a time.
Check us out here on the ESO Podcast Network and wherever fine podcasts are, including the iOS podcast app, CastBox, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram to keep up with all the goings-on in the nerdy world. Now back to your ESO Network podcast.
Who's better than us?
This is the recording.
Is this a secret after show?
This is the secret after show.
All right.
After show show.
We are immediately following the After These Messages show right now. We're about to pack up all our stuff, but here we are. Here's the mayor. Here's Ed from Sponge Awareness and from After These Messages.
Hey, how are you doing?
Here's Ed's mom. Hello.
Say hi. No, into the microphone.
Oh, good from there. I'll hear you.
I didn't realize
we're on TV. This is live TV. Yes. So would you say that was a disaster or a huge disaster?
Unmitigated disaster.
Yeah.
Unmitigated disaster. So definitely.
So. Could have been worse.
It could have been. It could. Their body parts could have been removed.
It's going to be a few weeks before the lawsuits start rolling in. So
yeah,
we have
true.
Some time to really enjoy ourselves.
That is true.
I think this is going to be okay.
Yeah.
What would you say was the best song of the night and the worst song of the night?
Ooh. Worst song was probably Muppet Show, because we started with the Muppet
Show.
Song. And we didn't hadn't hit our groove yet.
Yeah, they always say you start strong.
Yeah.
We do another one.
No, that was definitely one of the low points.
Yeah. I think it was a mistake to be in full Fozzie Bear suits.
That is true. That is
a mistake, because that took a lot of time.
Yeah.
We sounded very muffled.
Yes,
did not play the instruments.
Right, and as usual, I totally missed the gong at the end.
We did not hit the gong. Yep, we missed our animal.
And I was like, what?
What happened to the gong?
She is now not a podcast.
Now we're going to have to bleep the secret after show. That was Kate injecting some saucy language into the secret after show.
Oh, shoot.
You're on the podcast.
You're on the podcast.
I'm on the podcast.
This is the woman who is responsible for this show even happening at
this
all.
This was my brainchild.
You did it. This
and
is your fault.
And it worked out really well.
It was her idea for the name after these messages, which was brilliant.
I named the band, and this was all... And this should not be a one-off. It was
really fun.
We're going
to do this again?
Fun.
What are you doing tomorrow night, Ed?
Recovering.
Good answer. And Nicole's here. Nicole, what'd you think of the show? Are you ashamed? Are you changing your name?
Don't swear, because I swore and I'm not going to make it on the podcast.
We'll bleep you. You'll be fine.
With a giant chicken.
No, you guys did good. You did good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Better than ever? Are we getting better and better as we go along?
I
as the years
so.
Roll by?
I think so.
Do you think we're one step closer to our big break commercially?
Well,
top 40?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
What did you think the best song of the night was?
What was your favorite?
I like the Rock Around the...
Rock Around the Clock?
Yeah.
The song we did not do? Yeah, that's a good answer.
The one with...
Happy Days?
Yeah, Happy Days.
Happy Days, yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Right. That's a fun song.
And some lady was dancing with me behind this thing, randomly...
Did she have a hula hoop?
I don't know what she was doing. She was
in the credits, Joni has the hula hoop going during that song.
No, yeah. She didn't have a hula hoop.
That's a shame.
She was just really drunk, I think.
She was drunk?
I don't know. She was an older woman that just wanted to, go around in circles.
There was an elderly drunk woman dancing to Happy Days in the back of the room, and I totally missed it.
Yeah, behind the stall. You would have missed it.
Oh, man. I should have been in the back of the room.
And she was
wow. Nicole's doing a visual impression of a drunk elderly dancing woman right now. It's fantastic.
Yes.
All right, well, that's cool. I'm glad to hear that happened.
Yes.
That's my new highlight of the show, even though I didn't
see
it.
And even the bartender was dancing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Was he flipping bottles around and spinning? It's like Tom Cruise.
No, he wasn't that good.
What a scene in the back of the room. It was so super boring up front. Missed the whole show.
Yeah.
It was fun when people would sing along, like when we sang When Everybody Knows Your Name from Cheers.
Yeah. Was singing along.
That was probably my highlight. Yep. That felt like... That
Mike, what was the highlight of the show for you?
Right now
is the highlight of the show.
Yeah.
Just that it's over.
First
I hear you. And let's take a walk over to Carl. We have one more member of the band over here. Carl!
Hey.
Would you say this was a mistake or a huge mistake?
No. It's Tuesday night.
It's a good point. What else are we going to do?
Can't go wrong on Tuesday night.
Yeah. I've had worse Tuesdays. Tuesday was Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley night, as I recall.
Absolutely.
I think that was Tuesday night.
It certainly
so
was.
So we're bringing it back. You know?
Is this being recorded?
Oh, yeah.
Just for your podcast?
Yes.
Oh, I see. I'll have to listen to that.
Yeah. Now you have to listen.
I will.
Show. Yeah. And Carl, we were trying to do the math before, but I believe it's been approximately, since we last met, a quarter century.
I honestly can't remember when I met you or in what circumstances.
It was probably Duck.
It's been... It's like a million years.
Yeah, it would have been at a Duck Duck show.
I was drunk then.
Yeah. You were drunk, you were in the back of the room, you were dancing to Happy Days. There's a lot of that going around today. That's what we hear.
And what about Without Us? The
Family Ties song?
Family Ties song. That brought a tear to my eye.
Carl and I really had a moment there.
I like that song.
Yeah. That was the moment where we really came together.
Yes.
Not as a band, but as a couple.
Yes. Yes. You know what happened? Our vibrato linked.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
in
some,
a creepy way.
That's some powerful stuff. When vibrato links.
Yes.
Babies have been born.
That's right.
From
that's
leaking.
Right here on
vibrato.
This stage.
It's absolutely true.
All right, we have to pack up all our equipment and whatnot and hang our heads in shame and get out of here. So let's sign off with our guys. Thanks for coming together for a magic TV theme song themed band.
It was magical. It was wonderful. It was exciting and new.
It was exciting and new, and we shall never speak of this again.
Stay tuned for next week's episode.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.